you know, what if we could live a life where six generations from now, our great grandson or our great granddaughter kneels at our grave and says, hey, thanks for your courage. Thanks for your resilience. Thanks for your faith. Thanks for your persistence. Thanks for setting an example. The vibrational frequency of your example continues to inspire people six generations down the road.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley, special guest for the one and only guest that we've ever had for a third time. And if anybody's going to be crowned the third attendee of a Real Business Owners Podcast, it's this man. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a fourth or a fifth, a tenth, you know. Justin Prince is on the show with us today. You're always a treat to be around. You're always smiling. You always look good. You always have massive biceps, big bank accounts, beautiful cars, and you know, serve people at the highest level. So it's always an honor to
be in
this.
Nothing but love, brother. I'm excited for you tonight, dude.
Yeah.
That's a big night.
Hey, at least one of us is.
Happy birthday.
You know, thank you.
Fired up.
Yeah. Well, you're fired up, and I have butterflies in my stomach. So
yeah, you're going to crush it. Dude.
So, but I was telling... you know, some of the other guys are like, dude, I'm getting nerves. I'm getting nervous. Like it's almost like a bad thing. And I'm like, no, it's not a bad thing. I'm like, that's your body like preparing itself for what's about to happen. It's almost like I told him Braxton Hicks or whatever, like how women like start contracting before they actually give birth. Like their body's preparing it for what it's about to go through.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true. It just sounds really cool. And I like to sound smarter than I probably am.
So check this out. Have you heard, I don't know if you've heard this. They do this like for Olympic athletes. So much of life is what you focus on.
Yes.
Right. So the focus creates the meaning creates the emotion creates the action after that. So the same visceral response that your body has on nerves, like I feel nervous.
Yes.
The same, like the sweaty palms, like all the nerves, is the same exact visceral response, physiological response your body has when you're excited. So it's just the focus, right? So like Olympic athletes, before they're in there, like, dude, I'm super nervous. They're like, no, you're super excited. They like switch it to like, this is excitement. This is preparation to become excited to go perform.
So they're labeling it maybe as the wrong thing.
It's the same
emotions.
Same response.
Oh, gotcha.
Same physical response, but your focus is different. So the focus is create the new meaning. And so maybe you're just fired up. You're excited. You know, you're excited to go do it. And your guys over there, they're excited to go run and like put their body through that. Which, by the way, Trev, it's so funny with you. Like, you know, you're a normal guy, but like, you're not doing normal guy stuff, dude. This is not normal guy stuff. Yeah. Like 39th birthday running 40 miles is not normal.
Yeah. Well, here's what I told somebody is that I believe that, people that have a hard time giving themselves credit, or believing in themselves have to, create these environments that are completely undeniable. They have to do undeniable things, not undeniable for you or anybody, but for themselves to have a high level of belief in themselves. Because if they're doing normal guy stuff, even if they look normal or act normal and they kind of blend in, they won't have a level of confidence or belief in themselves that maybe will get them the results that they want in life. I believe that I'm so average and so basic as a human being that I will not get where I'm trying to go unless I'm doing extreme things, things that surprise me or things that I didn't even think I would be able to accomplish or do if you asked me 2 years ago or 5 years ago, right? And so like even right now, if you ask me, hey, can you see yourself running 100 miles? Not right now. No, I can't. But is that something that might happen in 2 or 3 years? Probably so, because I want to continue to surprise even myself.
Yeah.
And that's the only person that I really want to surprise anymore, right? Is because it got to the point where you get external accolades and everyone tells you how great you are. But if you don't feel great, it doesn't matter. You still have to go home and live with yourself and lay in bed with your own mind. What are you doing to impress you, to build your confidence and trust and faith that you can do things that you didn't even think was possible? And so I don't know, you know, where that comes in, but Like I fear being average so much that I have to make it completely obvious that what I'm doing is not normal so that I can have a little bit of belief in myself. Right. And I don't know why that is or where that comes from or stems from, but you know, that I literally started kind of crafting a talk one time about being in the top one percentile, like income wise, how many businesses ever do eight figures? Probably you have to be in the top one percentile, oh, yeah, right?
Of course.
How many people make seven figures on an annual basis? You're in the top one percentile.
Yeah, of course.
How many people have 1.6 million downloads on a podcast? You've got to be in the top one percentile. How many people are going to run 40 miles on their birthday? That's probably top one percentile, right? So it's like, how many people do two a days every single day for 1,000 days straight? You're going to be in the top 1%. Right. And so it's like, I'm looking at these things and figuring out how can I be in the top 1% and be the one, you know,
love it.
As you know, your book is right. Be the one and the events that you throw, be the one. And really what it comes down to. You have to be the one for you, your family, for the people that you love and you care about, your employees, whatever it is. And nobody else is going to hold you accountable to being the one. Except for you, right? And that's the most difficult part of this whole journey of success is holding yourself accountable to being that guy or that gal.
Yeah, so interesting though. I think one of the reasons we're like kindred souls, kindred spirits with each other, is your desire to be the one for your family. Like you won't be forgotten. Like no one's gonna be like, my great, great, great grandpa would run 40 miles on his 39th birthday. Like it's just, and by the way, all the other stuff, and do this, 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 all the stuff that you've been able to accomplish. And by the way, in addition to all that, have a great family, beautiful kids. Like I tell you all the time, like how much I love like watching you dad it up, you know, be a good dad, but good husband and so on. Cause that stuff's the stuff that really matters. Particularly when you're doing all the, you're crushing all these other areas.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're the one, dude. And the thing that's interesting is this, the one is a singular number.
Mm-hmm.
Like 12 is not singular, right? One is singular. So there's only one.
Yeah.
But it's also an infinite number because as you are the one, you subconsciously give people permission to be the one themselves, to like step into their own version of their best version of themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, you're running and what you've done with business, what you've done with your podcast, like what you've done in your fitness, what you've done with your marriage, like all those things are at the 1% level. They're kind of at the elite level. Well, dude, that's inspiring for people to watch. Like that's even people that listen to this stuff. It's inspiring for them to be around someone that's like playing the game. Cause I was on a podcast before this. My buddy went to an event. He actually spoke at the event, but it had a bunch of the big speakers there, right? He was mixed in. So he's sitting there at the event. He goes, I got a lot from the speakers. I got a lot from the lunches and the dinners and the networking. He goes, but I'm just sitting there and he's like, I had like these downloads. I'm like, God, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. That were just hit you because you're like in the environment.
Yes.
That's what those types of things happen when you're around high vibe. Like when you're around the one, someone's really striving to be the one in their own life.
Yeah.
You just start having these like I'm going to do this, or epiphanies or downloads hits you of like, I'm going to step it up in my life. I'm going to do this in my life. And so that's something I'm really passionate about is helping people to step into that. By the way, let me say this. The one, I tell people, you already are the one. You know, I believe that wholeheartedly too. I share in my book a story, a guy named George Prince. George Prince was my fifth generation grandpa.
Yeah.
He ultimately ended up settling down here in Southern Utah.
Okay.
It's one of the kind of interesting like pulls for me down
here. So my home in Southern Utah. That's right. Thank you.
Thank you, George. That's right. Yeah. So he came from England, went to South Africa, went from South Africa to Massachusetts, ultimately to Nebraska, and then was on the wagon train.
Yeah.
Last wagon train west in 1855. So his wife, Sarah, was pregnant with twins. They had five kids. She was pregnant with twins. They delivered the two twins on the wagon train. They ended up both dying. They buried them in shallow graves, knowing they'd never see these graves again.
Yeah.
Got to Salt Lake City. Sarah never emotionally or physically recovered. She dies. George's brother died in what's called the social wars. It was with the African tribes back in the Southern Cape of South Africa. So his brother's now dead. His wife's dead. His two babies are dead. Mm. And here's this guy, like, trying to be the one. And so his grave is out in Escalante, Utah. And I took my son out there, my son Isaac, when he was like 16, we went there on a Memorial Day and decorated his grave with flowers and so on.
Yeah.
And my son like kneels down next to this guy's grave. And this is his sixth generation grandpa. Yeah. Never met this guy in his whole life. Right. Kneels down at this tombstone, takes his hat off. Like it was just like the honor of a 16 year old kid, takes his hat off, kneels down and kind of says like basically a prayer. It's like he's like having a, you know, like a moment.
Like almost a conversation with him.
For sure.
You know, like.
I said to him after, I go, we're driving. I go, so what happened there? And he goes, I was thanking George for his resilience and his toughness and his strength. And he goes, I was thanking George for being the one. Mm-hmm. And I just thought to myself, you know, what if we could live a life where six generations from now, our great grandson or our great granddaughter kneels at our grave and says, hey, thanks for your courage. Thanks for your resilience. Thanks for your faith. Thanks for your persistence. Thanks for setting an example. The vibrational frequency of your example continues to inspire people six generations down the road.
Well, it all happens so quickly and everything is so temporary. Life itself or the situations that you're in, you know, and we were talking about, you know, prior to hopping on the podcast is, hey, when do you hit the wall and you get a second wind, you know, on these 30 or 40 mile runs, right? And it's like, well, you just never know. It's going, you know, it's going to happen, but you don't know when it's going to happen. If you miss your nutrition mark, your hydration mark, you know, maybe you're training or you rested too much or overtrained too much. There's something, it's going to happen. And that's the beautiful thing about it is I know going into it, I will find difficulty, struggle, doubt. I will have to fight the one and only person that will ever hold me back from ever doing anything great, which is myself. Mm. I'm putting myself in a ring with me.
Yeah.
And I'm beating myself down to the point to where it says, quit, give up, stop. You can't do this. The pain, da, 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 da. And all of it is just temporary. Like all the struggle that George went through, it was still just temporary. Yeah, yeah, it still ended. Yeah. And then the next generation picked up, you know what I mean? And so it's like, there's people listening to this right now that's enduring doubt, pain, struggle. They can't see past what they're currently going through, right? Like pain narrows your vision to where it's singular. Yeah, and the only thing you're focused on is the issue or the problem or the pain, and you can't see outside of it, right? And so like that's why I love these environments is because I do that too. I get so in my body that the only thing I'm focused on is the pain in my legs or the blisters on my feet. And I have to try to separate my head and my body. And it's very difficult to do, but it teaches me in the external world, in life and in business and this, that it's all just temporary. You could separate yourself from the pain and understand that there's something great on the other side of it. Just continue to endure, right?
So check this out, Trev. So I was in Lake Powell last week.
Yeah.
And
enduring the beautiful lake and
so check this out. You make all the efforts. You pack up your boat. Yeah. Get the kids. Get their friends. Get the food. Buy the gas. Travel down there. So you make all these efforts, right?
Yeah.
We're on the lake. And by the way, beautiful day. Just like picturesque day. And then like 3 minutes later, like you can hear the thunder and hear the like the clouds are on it. It was like changes on a dime.
Yeah.
There's like waves. It starts raining. Kind of like a really thick, like almost like a hail, like a rain, a really thick rain. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of sticking
like
to
pelting
you.
Pelting you.
Yeah. Pelting you, you know? Yeah. So here you are. You're on the lake, all the effort you put into it. Expecting a beautiful day. And here you are just the storm rolls in. And I did a video that when storms roll in, so listening to this right now, you're going to intentionally put yourself through a storm tonight. But there's people listening to this right now are going through storms, right? Yes. Storm in their business, storm.
There's undesigned storms that life will bring a storm to you regardless that beautiful lake or in your business or in your relationships. And then there's design storms, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
To where we're purposely trying to put ourselves in an environment of growth.
And so on, for sure.
Correct.
And they happen to, the point is you can do all the right stuff. You get the gas, you can make the effort, you're doing all this stuff right.
Yes.
And yet, bam, you just get hit with storms, you know? Yes. Again, in a marriage, in your self-confidence, in your business. And the lesson I shared at this video I did, I was just like, the only way to get through it is to go through it. Like in other words, the only way for you to get through tonight is to go through tonight.
Yes.
The only way for you to get through the storm is to go through the storm. Winston Churchill in like the most discouraging days of World War II, he said, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Yes.
It's just like the only way to get through hell.
Don't hunker down right there. That's not a bad, that's a bad spot to live.
That's right. Right. That's right. It's like the only way to get through this is to get through it. The only way to go through this is to get through it. And you have to constantly just keep saying, this storm will pass.
Yeah.
Like I was that Lake Powell storm, that was going to pass. That was going to be the whole trip.
Yeah. It's not going to punker down for a week.
That pain's temporary, right? And on the opposite side of that pain, once you get through it, and the only way to get through it is to push through it, then all of a sudden you have a great trip and it's this great memory and you remember all the other great things of your life and the great things, your business, your marriage. So man, if you're going through a storm right now, if you're going through hell right now, just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, that's your mantra for tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, you're trekking across the US, you know, whatever, and you want to see the beach and then you know, say, oh, here's Compton. Let's, you know, there's shootings, this, that, the other. It's hell. Perfect place to hunker down and live and build a life with my family. No, keep going. Get that beach house or whatever, right? So it's like at the end of the day, Justin has gone through hell. He's gone through his hell. And there's probably more hell that you'll have to go through and learn whatever you need to learn through that. I've gone through mine and I'll continue to have these storms or the hells that I have to walk through. But it's in the furnace that literally that we're the most moldable.
Yeah, of course.
Is when it's the hottest, when it's the nastiest. That's when we really reflect on who we are and what we truly want out of life, is when it's the hottest and we're in that hell and we're in that struggle and we're in that doubt. And that's when the hammer comes out and forges the sword.
Yeah.
Right? Is because it's so burning hot that it has the ability to morph or change at that point in time. And the question is if you're going through struggle, if you're going through hell or doubt or whatever it is that you're currently going through, are you taking the hammer out and molding yourself into something that's different? Because the individual that you are is the one that puts you in the hell that you're currently in, right? To a certain extent.
Yeah, or just life happens, right?
Life does happen.
Sometimes you get into a business, you get neck deep and you're like, what the heck have I got myself into? And like, cause like economy shifts or, you know, there's things that can happen.
But that should be expected to a certain extent that like, it's just not going to be all, you know, rainbows and unicorns,
always
right?
Anticipate. You never assume, always anticipate. Right? You're always trying to be
ahead
a couple steps ahead of you always want to be a little paranoid and a little, you're always a couple steps ahead of like what I tell people, never
what's
assume
around the corner.
Yeah. Never assume, never assume it's all going to be great. Yeah. Never assume it's all going to go well. Never assume when you go to Lake Powell, you're not going to have storms. Just never assume. You always anticipate. Get a couple steps ahead of yourself. So when that stuff does hit, you're at least somewhat prepared for how to handle it. But to your point, this is when you get molded. There's a spiritual leader. A guy gets up. Dude went through like all these bouts of cancer. He gets up to speak for his church. And he's like no hair. And he looks, his skin is all kind of like, just
he's
like
he's neck gone deep in his
through
struggle,
the whole chemo. Right? But he's like basically through it.
Yeah.
And through it, meaning through those treatments. And he gets up and he says, he was like, when he got cancer, so he's kind of like, why God? Like, why am I getting all this? And he goes, as I was going through it, he said, I built this great sense of gratitude because of all the lessons that he learned through that refiner's fire that you're talking about. But then he said this, he goes, but now that I'm through it, I don't want to like sign up to go, like go through it again. But I'm super grateful if I went through it, you know? That's how it is, dude. It's like, we don't always want to sign back up for the struggle.
But we're always happy as
we're grateful once we get through it.
Endure, right?
Exactly right.
We were talking about this morning, right? You met my buddy Ammons that's running Andrew Ammons came up from Texas. He's running with me. A couple other buddies, right? Danny Blue's coming up from Vegas. I got AK coming up from California. Luke, another guy from Vegas, Travis is coming up. It's going to be a good time. But this morning I take him to, you know, I live up in Virgin, right? I take him to River Rock Roasters there with the view or whatever in Leverican. And we're sitting there and we're talking just about business or whatever, just in general, and some of the pains and struggles that, you know, we all have to endure in order to, you know, get to the point of being successful or financially free. And I said, if somebody pulled a curtain back or had you look into a crystal ball and said, just so that you know, I know you're at the beginning of your journey, but look in here. This is everything that you're going to have to go through and every struggle, everything that you'll have to endure and to pop out the other side. Are you sure you want this? And I said, if somebody was able to do that, people wouldn't sign up for this stuff. And that's why it's just important to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with when you're dealing with it, because if you knew everything that it took to really actually become successful in life and business, you know, the work that it takes in your relationships or whatever, if they peeled back a curtain and said, hey, this is, yes, the honeymoon pictures, yeah, that looks pretty. That's, people imagine that for marriage. Pull back the curtain. There's, when you're first putting two humans together that's never lived with another human, learning how to live with each other, there's going to be trials and tribulation, and you've got to figure that out on the fly as you go. There's really no manual for it, right? And it's the same with business. Like, you're figuring it out on the fly, but it's almost a blessing that we don't know some of the things that we're going to have to endure in order to be successful. Because if we did, we wouldn't take the journey.
Yeah, so the University of Pennsylvania did a study. It was 350,000 people, 22-year study, so over an extended period of time. And they found a thinking pattern that began to emerge that they said was predictive of success. So if there was a thinking pattern that could predict your success, wouldn't you want to know what that is, right? What the thinking pattern was optimism. Mm. They almost had, like, probably a naive optimism that they could figure it out. So there was two things that they, super interesting, the researchers discovered. First one is that the people had what they called unrealistic expectations that they were going to be successful. And I'm like,
delusion almost, right? Delusion. It's basically, and just call it delusion.
But let me say this. You know? Let me say this. I thought that was so interesting. Unrealistic expectations. I thought to myself, here's these academics, these researchers.
Yeah.
They're like, here are your dreams and here are your goals. And here are the person listening to this. Here are your dreams and here are your goals. And they say to themselves, with all due respect, that's pretty unrealistic.
Yeah.
That you're going to hit that. So the second characteristic that they had was that they tried new things until they succeeded. Hmm. They just kept trying new things and trying new things. I tell people the word until can guarantee your success. Ogmandino in the greatest salesman in the world, the one of the great scrolls, he says, I will persist until I succeed. Most people persist until it's hard. Most people just persist until the storm hits. Most people persist until they're knots, you know, caught up in your leg.
In pain or struggling.
Like through. They persist until that happens.
Yeah. Until there's a valid enough excuse to say, I'm done. So that when you tell other people, I was doing this.
Reasons.
And then this happens.
Yes.
And then somebody says, oh yeah, totally get it. Justifying it, right?
Check this out. So I'm doing a live event. I'm doing my book launch and my live event on August 19th in Provo, right? This Be The One event.
Yes.
James Lawrence is going to come speak.
Oh, cool.
Are you familiar with James Iron Cowboy?
That is unrealistic. No, it's not unrealistic. It's impossible.
It's impossible, right?
What he did multiple times is impossible.
He took from impossible to inevitable.
Yes.
He had unrealistic expectations. So if those of you don't know the story, James was just a normal guy like us, right? Yeah. In 08, loses everything in the mortgage crisis of 08. His wife, they run a fun run, a Thanksgiving run.
Didn't want to do it. His wife signed him up.
He goes, I had women pass me with double strollers. I'm like, what is wrong with me? So he got him and kind of kicked his butt enough to get into running. Gets into running, runs 5Ks, runs 10Ks, runs a marathon, does some sprint triathlons, a small triathlons, does a half triathlon. Then he does a full Ironman, which, by the way, most people would be like, check it off the list. Dude, I did it.
That's on my life resume. Yes, I'm good. You know.
So he finally decides, I'm going to do what he called the 50-50-50, 50 consecutive Ironmans, full distance triathlons in 50 consecutive days in all 50 states with 5 kids in an RV. Like, just the logistics is off the charts, right? So he's on about day 4, and his little girl, her name is Lucy. She was 12 years old at the time.
Yeah.
She sees him. He slept like 2 or 3 hours combined in those first 4 days because they were started in Alaska, then Hawaii, traveling from the mainland, the whole thing.
Travels out of the way, getting to the States, and then RV in it.
Yeah. So, and by the way, on commercial, just schlepping it with his kids in the back of the plane.
I heard he struggled raising money with sponsors and all that for that because it was so impossible.
Oh, of course.
It was so unbelievable. It was laughable that somebody was going to attempt it. So he didn't get the funding or the backing or the sponsors that he would have liked because there was so much doubt around this thing that he was going to set out and do, right?
So his little girl, Lucy, she walks up to him. She goes, Daddy, you look terrible. And like with all the truthfulness of a kid.
Yeah.
And he goes, Baby, I feel terrible. Yeah. And with all the confidence of a 12-year-old, this little girl goes, Daddy, together we can do this. And she goes, I'll meet you every night for the 5K. Because what they would do is he'd do his swim, he'd do his bike. And then for the run, at the end of the run, the community would run the 5K with him at the end as part of the charity and and community involvement and so on. Yeah. So his little girl would meet him and run this 5K. So he said to me, he said, my date with my daughter became my why. It became my reason to keep going. Because here's what's so interesting about reasons. is there's always reasons to quit and there's always reasons to keep going, and the reasons you choose will define you. Mm. And so what you want to be looking for in your life right now is all the reasons to keep going. Mm. Tonight, there'll be reasons to quit for sure, guaranteed. Oh, guaranteed. But then you have to stack reasons. So here's what James said. He goes, what I quickly learned is that having one reason was not enough. Mm. He said, I needed a bag full of whys, a bag full of reasons. He goes, I literally would reach in and grab out another reason to keep going. Another, he goes, I think of my other daughter, think of my other daughter, think of my son, the example I'm setting for him. Mm. Think of my wife. He goes, I think of my donors, the ones that did believe me. He goes, I think of all my haters, all the ones that didn't believe me. He goes, I just kept finding more reasons to keep going. Mm. So he does the 50-50-50. Then he does what he calls the Conquer 100.
Yeah.
It's 100 consecutive full distance triathlons in 100 consecutive days. On day 101, wakes up. He made history. No one's ever done anything like this ever. Day 101, he says, I want to show my kids you could always do one more. Does another one on that day. Mm-hmm. That's the power of reasons. Like, you want to, if you're going to create a successful life, you need to create a bag full of reasons to keep going versus the reasons to quit. Because there's always reasons to quit and there's always reasons to keep going. And the reasons you choose will define you. So as you're going through challenges and pains right now, most people, what they do is they'll look for the reasons to quit. So it justifies, like, I'm not a quitter because all this other stuff happened.
That you could feel less bad about the decision. I don't feel bad.
It's not even my fault. I would have kept going if this didn't happen.
I have a valid excuse.
That's right.
Cash that in, clock out.
So as you're listening to this right now, you want to ask yourself, we all do this.
Yes.
Like, which we'll like search for reasons to quit.
Yes.
And then we could blame that versus having to blame ourselves. You want to be searching right now, looking proactively for reasons to keep going.
Yeah.
Reasons to keep moving forward and make it happen.
Well, I'm a big believer that we need to learn how to become our biggest cheerleader. We got to start having more conversations with ourselves, right? The world is such full of distractions, and our brain is just taking input. And that's why I create these environments where I'm out there by myself and letting my mind turn on me so that I can practice becoming my biggest cheerleader and overriding this thing that wants me to quit and wants me to give up and succumb to the pain and justifications of, hey, 10 miles is good enough, or, you know, 15 miles, not many people do it. Yeah. Da, 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 you know,
most like, are asleep right now.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, why am I running for 9 hours in the middle of the night? You know, when I don't have to do this, I have already seen some success in my life. But the more success that I've seen, the more I realize that it is putting challenges in front of you. It is personal growth. It's not the money that gives you self-worth. That gives you a net worth financially, but self-worth is earned in other ways.
Yeah, of course.
And if we're not continuing to make deposits in that bank account, your net worth could be high, but your self-worth could be low. And that combination could be deadly. And that's when people that are of success burn down what that they've built, because they're bringing their temperature of their net worth down to their self-worth.
Yeah.
And it creates chaos in their life, right? And so we always have to be making deposits in our self-worth, even if our net worth isn't high, so our net worth can catch up to that. Or if our net worth is high, that it actually has the ability to stay high and we don't succumb to drugs or alcohol or pornography or anything that happens to be negative and unearned dopamine, right? Artificial dopamine versus, you know, looking yourself in the mirror and saying, hey, I did something difficult, I feel proud, and I earned these endorphins or this dopamine, right? And so for me, it's he had those conversations with himself. I need more whys. I need more reasons. Are you doing that? Are you like looking internally and looking for reasons why, or are you just letting the doubt that's in your brain have a megaphone and just, you're like giving it your ear and you have to fight the fight. And sometimes the fight is fighting yourself. Actually, that's the biggest fight I believe anybody will ever fight, is the battle that they have to fight with themselves. And there's always ongoing battles because we're ever changing and ever evolving. We have to kill the 25-year-old version of us by the time we're 30. And then when we're 35, we got to get rid of that 30-year-old version. And then that 35-year-old version has to go. And so we're always continuing to evolve. But in terms of shedding the old version of you, you have to go through some sort of pain or struggle. You know, there's the midlife crisis, right? That men go through, or maybe women go through it too. You know, by the time you hit my age, right? 37, 38, 40, you know, around there, you really start asking yourself tough questions, but make sure that you back it up with some action, because regardless, we'll all go through it. Some people are going to pop out the other side, a better version of themselves, and they will become the one in their family. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be other people that will just succumb to the doubt and the pain and the struggle and just say, I'm a loser. I haven't done anything with my life up to this point. It just is what it is. And then they accept, right? What is, and all you're going through is a point or a period of time where you're questioning yourself, and it should be a positive thing, not a negative thing, right? Because we should be questioning ourselves and asking ourselves, are we doing the right thing? Do we have character? Do we have standards? Are we the example in our families and in our ecosystem? I'm a big believer that if you are not the example in every environment that you put yourself in, who is then?
Hmm.
Like, you should look around at your friends. You should look around at your colleagues and say, who is the one that's really setting the bar,
yeah,
setting the standard? And when I had that conversation with myself, I said, I want to be that guy. I want to be the guy where I say I am doing X and people are like, what? Where it's almost unbelievable. Like, yeah. James was, yeah, doing with his 50, you know, I'm by no means at any level like that, but like, somebody's got to be the one that sets the example, sets the bar, sets the standard. And that is the individual that will be the one in their friend group, will be the one in the generations for their family, be the one in their business environments, all of that. But it does require optimism, staying positive, communicating with yourself, because we don't have to communicate with ourselves for the negative. That's just going to happen by default. Our brain's going to speak negative to us without even trying. So if we know that that's going to happen regardless, we better wake up ready for the fight every single day and make deposits that are positive, that are optimistic, that will, you know, basically balance out that fight that's happening in your brain every single day that you wake up.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, Jim Rohn was Tony Robbins' original mentor, and Jim Rohn said the weeds grow automatically. I don't know if you ever noticed, like, weeds will grow there in your driveway.
Yes.
Like, this is cement. How is our weeds growing? The flowers you have to plant and you have to nurture and you have to grow.
I like that.
And so the flowers in your mind, like, proactively feeding yourself positive, feeding yourself belief. Here's what's interesting is success is an identity process. You'll never outperform the way you see yourself. If you see yourself as a loser, you're not going to show up and play like a winner would. If you see yourself as a winner, you're not going to roll over and quit like a loser would, because you'll be consistent with this identity of the way you see yourself. And one of the reasons I'm so passionate about teaching people that you are the one, you're it, like shake them a little bit. Like, you're the one. You're the one that, if you take your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, the last 12 generations was 4,094 people over the last about 400 years, give or take, that came together from literally all over Earth.
Yeah.
To create you.
Yeah.
You're the one. Like, they all lived and bled and died and had triumphs and had sacrifices, had great days, bad days, hard days, push through it so that you would have this moment. You are the one. And you start realizing, if I'm the one, the word be is a very active word. It's not become the one. You're it. Mm. It's step into it today. You act as if you're that one today. I tell people, faith precedes the miracle. You don't get the miracle, then the faith. You don't plant the row of peas and the harvest rows of watermelon. Mm. Like, you first, faith is this like verb. It's like this action where you do all this stuff and you just are grinding and hoping and praying and having unrealistic expectations and trying new things until it works. And you have a lot of optimism. Like, that's all the faith. And that comes before, or it precedes the miracle, which is the business, the life, the health, the journey, all these things you're looking to accomplish. A lot of us say, dude, give me the $10,000 a month and I'll show up on time. Give me the business and I'll do this. Like,
give me the result and
give me the six pack abs and I'll show up to the gym. It's like,
of course, he's an actor. He gets paid to do that, but he got the role because he already had it.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, give me, and I tell people this, like, you have to win the championship before you get the champion type contract, right? But everybody wants the contract, and then they'll put in the late nights. Everybody, exactly. You know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes as long as you do X, versus I'm willing to do whatever it takes and I believe that the byproduct of me doing whatever it takes will be X. So you have far more control over it rather than saying, you do this for me and then I'll act in this manner, right? Act in the manner, and the universe, it's an input output game. It's just impossible to have all of the right right outputs and do all that and not get the result. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be struggles or your hells or, you know, the things that you have to endure. But if you continue with the certain outputs, it's impossible not to get a certain result. And mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in that. And I just like committed at one point that it was like, well, why not like really truly see what I'm capable of? Why not? Like, what else is there really better to do with our life than just commit to being great? Like, what's the other alternative?
Yeah, of course.
Like subpar, depressed. I told my wife at one point when I started doing the two-a-days and running long distance, she goes, you're going, you know, and it was after, you know, 38 miles last year or whatever. And I said, hey, I got to go for my second workout. She goes, you 38 miles isn't enough. And I said, I would do two-a-days every day for 1,000 days. I said, I do not want to accept average or mediocre. And I said, that goes for us in our relationship. It goes for my fitness. It goes for my finances. It goes with my faith. I don't want a mediocre relationship with God.
Yeah.
I don't want a mediocre relationship with my wife. I don't want mediocre health. I don't want mediocre money. Like, we all have the same amount. Somebody might be watching Netflix. I'll be out going for a run. For me, I'm investing into the individual that I'm becoming, and making the deposit today so that I can have more to withdraw later. It's no different. The problem is people aren't making deposits in the area that actually move the needle. They're making deposits, you know, in everything that is a distraction that makes you forget about your pain and your miseries and the struggle and the hell that you're currently going through. So therefore, it prolongs the problem.
Yeah.
Right? We can ignore the problem and have it persist. Or we can decide right here, right now, that I am going to become the best version of myself. I have full control whether I get up early in the morning or I don't get up early, whether I read or I don't read. The problem is the identification portion of it, right? School maybe told you you were dumb, so you don't read books, right? School told you this, or something somewhere happened where you owned this label or this identity. I'm not a runner. I'm not a reader. I'm not rich, or I'm not this, or I'm not. That's because you don't do any of the activities that runners do. What would it take to become a runner? The act of running.
Yeah, of course.
What does it take to be a morning person? The act of waking up early for an extended period of time. That doesn't mean that you won't go through struggle to become this thing, right? And then eventually you do it long enough and your brain has a record of the past and it says, oh, this is who you are.
Yeah. So my book, I have a chapter, because I think sometimes people hear this. I think it can be easy for someone to say, basically it's easy for you guys to say, do you know what I'm saying? And I understand that. Like, you know, sometimes you don't understand someone's full story, all that. A chapter in my book, a buddy of mine, he works in the insurance financial services industry back in California. His name's Jaime Molina, has two beautiful daughters. He's Mexican-American, grew up right on the border in Texas. And he works with the youth in his local community through a church group.
Cool.
Like troubled youth. And these are kids that are going through drugs, addiction, just the whole thing. So he works with them and he tells them a story about a guy named E9400. E9400 was his prison name. So E9400, when he was 8 years old, he was a little Mexican boy, grew up on the border. When he was 8 years old, was introduced to drugs, was molested, mm-hmm. became sexually active like at 11, was ultimately put into San Quentin, and like one of the roughest prisons in the world.
Hardcore stuff. Yeah.
And he tells him the story. He goes, what do you guys think happened at E9400? Like, he goes through this whole rap sheet of all the stuff that he went through, abuse and drugs and just all the stuff. And people are like, well, he's either dead or maybe still in prison or, you know, strung out somewhere. Okay, cool. He goes, would you guys like to meet him? And they're like, no kidding. He goes, he's here. He's actually out in the hallway. So he goes out there, comes back in, and he's E9400. My buddy Jaime is the sweetest guy I've ever met. Devoted Catholic guy, just a gentle, sweet, kind person. Wow. Went through his identity was E9400 for many, 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 many years of his life. But yet here he is, this beautiful man, you know? Mm. And so you can update your identity.
Yeah.
You can change this stuff. You can listen to a podcast like this. I'm doing my event, Be the One, and where we launched the book. on August 19th in Provo. Those are weekends where you can say, it's a lot of the stuff that you're saying, like, I'm not going to be mediocre anymore. I'm not, like, a lot of your journey, I'm not going to be mediocre anymore. Like, honey, I expect us to be, like, excellent in all these different areas. Like, mm-hmm. that wasn't always your identity.
No.
You had a prior identity.
Yes.
And E9400 had a prior identity before he became Jaime Molina, this really sweet, powerful man that helps his community and helps, you know, his clients and helps mm-hmm. his wife and kids. And so that's the strength of stepping into who you really are. You're the one. Now, the challenge is, the invitation is to go be that person. Be that person today. Leave this podcast and say, how would I show up if I was acting in my best self? How would I show up in my marriage? How would I show up in my fitness? Like, what would I cut out? One of the things I like to teach is, so much of life isn't about doing more. It's about elimination.
Oh, yeah.
It's like cutting a bunch of the other stuff out.
Minimizing.
It's like, keep doing the right things. You don't have to do 1,000 right things every day.
No.
Like, I teach people how to find what I call their highest impact actions, or HIAs. Find their five. Yeah. Do the right thing, which your giftedness, you were making it rain. Do those things really, really, really well with tons of proficiency. And then we eliminate or delegate everything else to someone else, teams, systems. We eliminate it. It's cutting some of the crap out of your life. Yes. You know, it's like, I don't want to get in better shape. It's like, go take all the sugar in your house right now, all of it, through cereal, through donuts, through, open your cupboards, all of it.
Yeah.
And throw it in the garbage. Eliminate some stuff, because that's how you start getting in better health, is you take things away. It's not about adding a bunch of new stuff.
That's, so right now I weigh 170, right?
I would have thought 215, solid muscle.
Dude. You know, dude, you know, I make 170 look thick on this small frame. Anyways, I was up to a couple hundred pounds, right? At one point. And I was thick, you know, I was, you know, thick upper body, but I had the tire belly to match, you know, big arms and big chest or whatever. Embarrassed to take off my shirt, you know, that whole thing, and just kind of covered it up with the big arms and the big chest with the shirt. Yeah. So that I look like he can move some weight, or, you know, somebody not to mess with. But, you know, the truth was, during that time, yeah, I was lifting, but I was young and I was single, living out on my own for the first time. And I was very poor. And I would scrape up change. Like, my roommate would take change out of his pocket and keys and put it on the counter. And he would say, like, hey, if you ever, you know, want the change, you can have the change. I hate change, is what he said. And we had a Del Taco a couple blocks down the road, right? And so Taco Tuesdays would happen. And I couldn't wait for Taco Tuesday, because it was 3 tacos for 99 cents. So I'd scoop up all of his change and, like, go buy 9 to 12 tacos so that I could eat that night, eat breakfast the next morning, and, like, 3 at a time, and kind of, like, eat cold tacos for a couple days straight just to survive. So I was living on kind of I was a dollar menu-naire, dog. I wasn't a millionaire yet, right? I would go to any dollar menu that menu-naire, dude. And so I lived off of fast food, and I would work out, and I was drinking heavily, just trying to, I was young and dumb, right? Trying to fit in and all that. And I bloomed up, and it got to the point where it was like, I looked at myself and I said, this is not okay. But I wasn't, like, I didn't have a coach or this or that, but I knew that changes had to start happening. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I hate to bring him up, but Jared was Subway, you know, he's in some cell, as he should be, for whatever the hell he did. But those commercials were big back in the day, right? It was $5 a foot long, da, da, da. Look at Jared. He lost whatever, 200 pounds or 300 pounds. And so it was just like, okay, I need to change Del Taco and some of these other places. I'm going to just start eating sandwiches. So I didn't go from the fast food and the Del Tacos to, you know, lean turkey plain rice or anything like that, and go from, like, this to this. It was a gradual step, right? And I said, I can control what I eat, but, like, I'm not going to go from, you know, not giving a crap, young and dumb, to, you know, like, I'm prepping for some bodybuilding show. But what's that next step that I can take that's healthier than the current step that I'm on, right? What I'm currently doing. And so, legitimately, for a period of time, I ate a 6-inch Subway sandwich for breakfast, a 6-inch Subway sandwich for lunch, every day, and I started dropping weight, Right. And then it started to change. Instead of the 6-inch with the bread, I would get rid of the bread and I would eat the egg and the, you know, the meat in it or whatever. And it's just micro changes. And I think sometimes people look at, you know, situations of individuals that have been in the game for 10 years, 20 years like us, and they're at the beginning of their journey and they can't see them connecting from where they are to where maybe other people are that they look up to or aspire to be like. And so that it doesn't seem real. And so they don't ever give it any true effort. But what you need to understand, it was just one minor shift.
Yeah.
And then that one shift
great story
led to another little teeny shift. And then one more, and then one more, and then one more. And then next thing you know, 10 years later, here I am sitting in front of you. I eat clean for the most part, right? I still enjoy food. I want to enjoy food with my, if I want a chimichanga, bro, I'm going to get a chimichanga. But I've earned it. But 80% of the time, I'm going to purposely choose to eat healthy. And here I am eating very good for the most part and doing 40-mile runs, right? When this 200-pound guy, if I went and talked to him, that there's no way.
Oh, yeah.
That's impossible. Yep. But I didn't do it overnight. And it doesn't have to be done overnight. It's just one micro change. In order to be the one, you have to change something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to, don't try to take on the world or five different habits all at once. There was a guy, Bob, that I was training with. You remember Bob? Big Bob? I don't know if you ever met him. He was 430 pounds. We had him on the podcast a few times. He still works for us. And, you know, he started working out with me. And we would walk around the gym track at Summit at the very top. And he couldn't even walk around once before putting his hand on the wall. 430 pounds is a lot. And he would be breathing and have to, you know, whatever. And after a month or two, people are like, oh, yeah, he's losing weight. Like, what type of diet do you have him on? Is he this? Is that? And I said, no. I'm just trying to get him in the habit of waking up early and being here. Then when that is his new normal and his brain identifies that that's just what I do is I wake up early and I move my body. Guess what? We introduce one new thing at that time. Then it would be food. And so it's like chipping away at it. And I think too many times we overwhelm ourselves with trying to figure it all out. Like I'm committed my New Year's resolution. I'm going to read every day. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to da-da-da-da-da-da. And then 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, we're changing too much too quick where it becomes overwhelming and then we quit and give up and justify that that's not for me. Justin is different than me. Trevor's different. But I want to break it down to the point where people need to understand Justin at one point didn't do his daily regimen, his habits that he currently has. That wasn't Justin 10 years or 15 or 20 years ago. That's an evolution that takes time.
Right? Yeah, there's two questions I encourage people to ask to change, to like start to move in the right direction. Question number one is what attitude shift do I need to make right now to move closer to my goal?
I like that.
An attitude shift I can make whether I made the sale or not. An attitude shift I can make whether I lost any weight or not. An attitude shift I can make even if I'm still like stuck in my dead-end job. I can just shift my attitude. That's kind of what you did is like, your attitude shift at that point was like, I'm better than this. You know, it's like, I can do, this isn't acceptable for me. So an attitude shift is, I'm going to be enthusiastic. I'm going to have passion. I'm going to have some energy. Like you can shift your attitude without external things happening. Second question you ask yourself is, what's the next physical step I can take to move closer to my goal? And the reason I like physical is it's like, send the email, like set up the meeting. Don't go to Del Taco, go to Subway. That's the next physical step. And then once you do that, what's the next physical step? Next physical step. The secret to life is momentum. Starting to where you're not only going uphill, you can start going downhill.
Yes.
Tonight, when you run, at some point, the momentum will kick in. We talked about it earlier. Like you get like a second wind and it's almost like you're running backwards 26 miles in, you know, that's just momentum. That's like the momentum's kicked in. The way you create momentum is it's the next physical step, next physical step, next physical step, next physical step. Next thing you know, you've like got some inertia moving, you know, you like positive habits. Yes. I wake up on the right time. I go to the gym. I go for the walk. Like all those positive steps start compounding over time and the consistency compounds over time.
What were some of the initial changes that you made? Like when you went from a dreamer to a doer?
Yeah.
Right. Because I think there's I think everybody's a dreamer. Like, we did it as kids. It still exists. Whether we distract ourselves from actually dreaming because we're taking too much in, like I said earlier, all the time with all these inputs and social media, Netflix, trying to keep up with everybody else's life more so than we keep up with our own. There is a dreamer in all of us, right? But like, how do we take this dreamer and become a doer? Because there was a moment that happened for you too, and that happened
one
for
of them
me.
For me was waking up early.
Yeah,
I remember my wife and I lived in this little rental when we first got married. This little tiny rental in a place called Rose Park, Utah. Someone told me it's having a resurgence. Rose Park, right back there, was like the hood. Yeah, you know,
you don't want to live there.
Yeah, and so like we had this little rental, and
unless you're repping Blood or Crip or something, then it's perfect.
Then it's fine.
That's your environment. You know, they'll do what you do there.
So we were in Rose Park. I would wake up super early, and I would go upstairs in this little apartment, and I would read. Like, those are two steps, right? I'd wake up and I'd pour something positive in my mind. I tell people, avoid your phone for the first hour you're awake. Proactively pour positive. Your brain works on wave cycles, and it works on about 13.2 wave cycles per second early in the morning. So in other words, your subconscious is most rested early in the morning.
Yes.
So we talked about earlier, like, the weeds will grow automatically, pour positive. You want to like pour positive for at least 10 minutes, at least. Like, pour positive things in. So a spiritual music or an audible book or positive YouTube, or, you know, listen to, like, seriously, bro, you could mentor someone through your podcast. They may never meet you in their whole life, but they just listen to your podcast, listen to you, like, put some stuff in their brain for 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Cool. And by the way, if you can do more than 10, I'd encourage you to, like, give yourself some time. But wake up early, avoid your phone, pour positive. And then the other one for me that's been a consistent thing over time is just exercise. And I don't lift weights as much for my biceps as I do for my brain. So in other words, it's a good emotional release. It's a mental release. It's a good habit release. Like, to me, it's just part of what you do. It's just part of the habit that you built. Yeah, you know, I probably lifted weights 4 to 5 days a week, every single week, with, I can't really think of any exceptions. Maybe if I was injured, maybe, but, you know, something happened or something like that. But 4 to 5 days a week, every single week for the last 22 years, every single day, you know, I'm so sorry, for last 25 years.
It shows with your 25-inch arms. What would you gain, an inch a year?
An inch a year.
You know, maybe I need to, you know, be more consistent.
That habit, so your habits over time will create your whole life, your routines. You know, Aristotle says excellence is not an act, it's a habit.
Yes.
He says, therefore, we are what we repeatedly do. The opposite's true. So if excellence is not an act, it's a habit. We are what we repeatedly do. A terrible life is not an act. It's a habit. You are what you repeatedly do. I tell people, you're not what you did. You are what you repeatedly do. We all make mistakes. Yes. We all have off days. Yeah. We're all not our best self all the time. But over time, what you repeatedly do, that is you. Those routines and habits, that is you. Now, you can change those, but the positive ones over time will create who you are.
Well, you talked about optimism a little bit, being positive, this, that, the other, and that's spot on, because you have to figure out how whatever's going wrong in your life right now, how it's a positive, and you adjust your mind. Like, you know, for instance, our Instagram Easier Accounting got shut down, right? And I watched this video of The Rock. He's on a balcony in Canada somewhere, and he goes, "This is the city I was in when I got cut."
Yeah, I've seen that video.
And he talks about it was the worst day ever, but in reality, it was the best day ever, because it redirected him to, you know, wrestling and then the movies and this. But his dream was, you know, to be a football player. And that's where that dream died. And depending on how he reacted in that situation would determine whether he becomes the guy that we all know him, or him accepting his fate and he's a loser. His dream of that didn't come true. Right. And so it's like, every time something that appears to be bad in our business or this, I always say, I keep an open mind and don't stay in a state of frustration, because you can't see opportunities. If you're in that state, what is this trying to teach me? What is it trying to tell me? Where is it trying to redirect me? Because I know that on the other side of this issue or this problem and this struggle, there's something better. There's something more beautiful. I haven't seen it yet. I don't fully understand it, but it's there. And when you're as old as us, you have that hindsight, that self-awareness is like, man, every single storm that I've gone through, if I endured, I can see how it served me. And then you just have this mindset of problem. Okay. something good is going to come from this. So you automatically go to positivity, right? When I was first started running, I would look at the blisters on my toes and say, I can stop right here and nobody would fault me for stopping because I'm at the point where I'm in pain and there's blisters on each one of my toes, on the bottom of my feet. And I said, blisters do what? They turn into calluses. And so I had to make it a positive thing. And I said, this is what's happening to my mind right now. My mind is blistered, but eventually if I continue to do what I'm doing, I will callus my mind. So I took something that appeared external to be negative that most people would say, okay, validated, I can quit and give up. Nobody's going to blame me. I can take a picture and say, dude, look, man, I couldn't run anymore. Look at this. Or you could say, man, this is so positive because I'm literally one step closer to creating the mind that I set out to create. I can't see my mind. So I had to use my feet as a visual representation of what's going on mentally. And we all have to go through our blisters in order to be calloused, in order to get better, right? And so I'm always looking for ways to turn what happens to appear negative to the common eye into something positive, into something that's of growth that will be beneficial if I continue or endure, right? And I think it's just important for people to take a step back and say, okay, why is this happening? And how can I benefit from it versus let the storm take you out, right?
Love that.
Dude, let's talk about your event, Be The One. You've hosted a couple of these Be The One events, right? You did one in St. George.
Yeah, Newport. Just did one in Australia recently.
Oh, you did one? Yeah. I didn't know about the Australia one. And then you're doing another one in Salt Lake City in August. It's August what?
19th. So it's actually in Provo.
Okay.
It's about 30 minutes from Salt Lake.
I call anything above St. George, Salt Lake.
If you're not from around here, it's about the same thing.
It goes 45 minutes, Cedar City. Then after that, it's Salt Lake for like 6 hours, if you ask me.
So I'm fired up about it. I'm speaking. We'll go through a goal setting workshop, like a dream building workshop, which we'll spend more time on your goals and dreams, I'll bet you, than you have in the last 15, 20 years.
Guaranteed.
Helping you to gain a lot of clarity. What most of us lack is not the will, not the drive, whatever. We just lack a lot of clarity. We're not sure what exactly we're trying to do. We'll go through a bunch of productivity stuff, how you build teams and systems, how you actually maximize your income earning potential, go through a whole wealth building segment, a marketing segment. James Lawrence, the Iron Cowboys, come to speak. I have a couple that I've worked with for the last 10 years that they've done hundreds of millions of dollars in business in their careers.
Oh, cool.
They're going to come speak. They're absolutely off the charts. Tony and Sarah Zalecki. My buddy Rob Sperry is one of the top coaches in his profession, build a huge social media following. Rob will come speak. So it's going to be an absolutely epic one-day event. And it'll be one of those ones where it'll be, I remember where I was when, because we're going to launch the book as well.
Yeah.
And so it won't just be like a, you know, I hope you're motivated. I hope you're inspired, but you'll leave like with tactical strategies of exactly what to go do. Mm-hmm. I have an entire workbook. So when you leave, you'll have all of the information you need to go implement it into your life, implement it in your business. So from a personal and professional development, it'll be one of the most impactful days you do all year.
I will say this. I am who I am today based upon us starting to invest in putting ourselves in some of these rooms.
Yeah.
It's without a doubt that changed our lives, the trajectory of our lives. It changed everything for us, right? Like you have an identity that you have because you've hung around average and mediocre people. And so you've just absorbed what is the norm in the environments that you put yourself in. What environments could you put yourself in that are of growth, like running 40 miles, right? Like I already know that that's going to be tough. Like financially, it might be tough to be able to spend money on a ticket or, you know, what is it? 400, 500,
397.
That might be a stretch, but at the end of the day, like that's the idea, is stretch yourself and put yourself in new and different environments that are of growth so that you have an opportunity to become somebody other than the individual that you are. And my guess is if you're listening to this, like, you know, it's a van, I don't do that, rah, rah, da, da. He talked about tactical stuff. All the stuff that we've just barely talked about, being positive and overcoming yourself and this, that, the other, you're going to have to get clear on how to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get clear on why it's important for you to do that. And like, we went to the one that was here in St. George, and there were people that listened to the podcast that came out and they absolutely loved it. We had mastermind members that came and because you've came and spoke at some of our mastermind stuff. And so they absolutely loved you. And we're like, dude, we need to get in that environment more and more and more. And like, if there's anybody that is a belief in environments, it's me. Because I try to curate and create environment. That's why I don't kick it. I don't hang out. I don't, because there's uncontrollable things that happen in those environments. There's already going to be uncontrollable things, but I am going to try to control where I put my mind, where I put my body, the people that I surround myself with, all of those things, because I believe those things have the biggest indicator or are the biggest indicator of where you're going, right? Like, because you're in that environment. You might not be where you want to be, but because you're in that environment, you're now going to start going down a different path.
Yeah.
And it 5 years ago, like I wouldn't be running. I wouldn't be doing cold plunge. I wouldn't be reading. I wouldn't be doing that unless I was in rooms around other people that were inspiring and that made me want to be better.
I'm the exact same. Dude. Like I was born at these events, like for reals.
And it sounds cliche, though.
It totally does. Like, it totally does.
It's true.
It's so true. And here's the thing. This is a philosophy that I've lived by that, you know, if someone were to sit down with you and say, okay, Trev, I want to invest money. Like I want to build net worth. You know, what do I do? Do I invest in real estate? Do I invest in cryptocurrency? Do I invest in the stock market? Like, what do I do? The best investment you'll ever make, this is the philosophy. The best investment you'll ever make is an investment in yourself. Mm-hmm. Like every dime that I've spent on myself, every dollar I've invested into me, an event, a plane ticket, a, you know, going like hotel, like being there. I mean, Trev, the return is literally exponential. You can't calculate it.
You can't, because there's a forever ROI on that investment, because you're a new individual, and this new individual now gets put in all these different situations for the rest of your life.
That's exactly right.
Right. When you're 65, something that changed your life when you were 35 at an event, you're still leveraging that.
Yes.
There's a relationship that happened at 35 at that event, and you're still friends with them. You did business with them 5 years later, maybe not the next week, but we still do business with people that we met at events when we started investing into ourselves, putting ourselves around. Like, these environments just don't exist. You're not going to just walk into, like, you have to invest in areas that you want to grow, right? And if you want to grow yourself and you want to grow your business, you need to be around those environments that are fertile. And it's literally events like this that create fertile ground for change.
Yes.
And like, I know I'm going off on it a little bit, but like, I was not average. I was below average. I was a loser. I was a drug addict. I grew up poor, like, bad in school, didn't even graduate high school on time. Like, I shouldn't be where I am if you peel back the curtain and look at my history and my past from the age 0 to 25. It's like that, it doesn't match where I went from 25 to now 39. Yeah. It doesn't. And there's a key point, a key indicator, right? What's your KPI in your business? Your key point indicator that's going to move the needle. The KPI for me was high power people, events, information, and making sure that I was putting myself in these fertile environments. And from there, you know, I did the rest, right?
That's right.
Like, because there is that in you. Justin said, you are the one. You just probably haven't been planted or had that environment to water you so that you have the ability to do some of the things that maybe you've dreamed about. And that dream is there for a reason. And it can come true, provided you start taking action and doing rather than thinking or just dreaming. Right. And so I would highly encourage, like, I'm blessed to be around you at the gym and, you know, talk that talk and, you know, bump my gums with you. But for real, you know, you're salt of the earth. And like, I just know the character, the integrity, the type of human that you are, and the type of an environment that you create for other people. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I know, you know, whether it's one person or everybody in that room, there will be lives absolutely changed. And because the information will be there. The environment is there. It's whether or not they actually open themselves up and surrender themselves to that type of an environment.
Yeah. Right? Look, you know, getting up off our couch, getting up, getting a plane ticket, getting it driving there, like that, all that stuff is, it's like you're moving against inertia.
Yes.
Inertia just sit there dude, yes. and be like, oh, sounds all right, but I'll go to the next one. Like that's inertia. So getting out into the environment, that's where all the momentum comes. So you go to betheoneevent.com. The one is not the spelled out, it's just the number one. So be the one, the number one event.com. You get your ticket. Love to serve your RBO audience. You know, love what you and Kel do and like the value you guys add, the people you guys are. You know, I the reason I've gone and spoken for your stuff is because I really believe in what you guys do, you know?
Yeah.
I really do believe that in like the value that you're adding. So love being on with you, bro. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on, dude. It's always good, man. You know, I always feel energized and refreshed after a conversation with you.
You're going to need it tonight.
And yeah. I forgot about that just for a microsecond. You know, now you bring me back to reality. Like, oh, you're going to go through the hell that we talked about, but keep going, you know? So, hey, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Make sure that you're doing, you know, obviously if you're listening to this episode, that's step one. You're absorbing good information. Now put yourself in the environments around that type of energy as well so that you can go to another level. And so go to betheoneevent.com. It'll be in the show notes as well. Justin, as always, we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you.
Guys, take care. Kick ass. See you next week.